Scene 19, Sarah Voskovic, 9:30 p.m. It was a strange walk home. Two blocks, then left, and half a block from the park, then up 12 stories in an elevator. It seemed to last an age. My head ached abominably, and it was very difficult to keep walking a straight line. I dared not look down, for when I did, things began swimming. I took to staring at the street lights, walking slowly and breathing deeply. Mostly, I tried to look as though I weren't drunk. There's something about seeming drunk when you're a teetotaler that is the essence of humiliation. Besides, I didn't want to put Sarah in the position of seeming to be guiding some sot home. I did a lot of leaning on her, and I suppose it was a good thing that I weighed no more than 120 pounds at that, or she couldn't have managed. I tried to talk, just to give a general air of self-possession, but I think I made a miserable failure at that. I hardly remember what I said, except that I'm under the impression that I tried to apologize to her for thinking she had set me up. I remember that more because I remember her answering than because I remember saying it. She said, "The trouble, Darius, is that you're a romantic. You keep trying to make me a villain because otherwise I don't interest you. I'm too short, I think." "No," I said, "just right, just right." I tried to pat her in a fatherly way, but I think I missed. That's all I remember about any conversation. I know that when we went through the lobby, I was very grave and solemn with the doorman, much more grave and solemn than I ordinarily am. "Ah, there, George," I said, "how are you? This is Miss Voskovic. She'll just go up with me for a moment, George, be leaving right away." "Yes, sir, Mr. Just," said George, grinning and nodding. Sarah hissed in my ear, "You don't know when I'll be leaving." "You'll have to leave right away, Sarah. It's your reputation I'm thinking about." "You need a doctor. That's what to think about." "No doctor," I said, and the elevator came. There was no one in the elevator, and I remember how nice it was to lean against the wall and close my eyes. Sarah kept her hand on my elbow. She said, "Do you have your keys?" I pulled them out of my pocket and gave them to her. She opened the door after some experimentation. I was very patient. I walked in and said, "Okay, dear, you can go now because I'll just go to sleep." "No, I don't, not yet. Good Lord, look at your clothes. I can't imagine what the doorman thought." I tried to look down, but it hurt too much. "Just a little dirt," I muttered, closing my eyes. "And a little tear and rip." She began pulling at my jacket. I tried to resist, but it was a terrible effort to do so, and I ended by letting her, until she came to my pants. "Come on now," I said feebly. "What are you doing?"
"All off," she said. "Everything off. You'd get them off fast enough if we were going to bed together."
"Well, we're not, and I don't want them off."
"I don't care what you want. I'm getting them off."
And she did, too. Everything. I remember standing there with my hands over my genitals, feeling like a maiden in a Victorian melodrama surprised by a bad baronet with rape on his mind. It was the damnedest feeling, but I don't think Sarah cared anything at all about it. She got me into the bathroom, and then made me step into the tub and sponged me down. That was the damnedest feeling, too. I started to laugh, but I couldn't keep it up for long. It hurt. She was drying me and said,
"Lift your leg, and why are you laughing?"
I said, "Poor Giles, this is what he wanted, only you wouldn't do it for him."
"Because it was his idea. This is my idea. It makes a difference."
"Sexist," I said.
"Also, that was sex, and this is nursing."
"Are you a nurse?" I asked. For a minute, I think I couldn't remember who she was.
"No," she said, "but I am a mother."
"Oh, and I'm a little boy. I'm not, you know."
"Please, where are your pajamas?"
I told her, and she managed to struggle me into them after I had used my spray deodorant. I insisted. And then I was in bed, and boy, what a wonderful feeling that was. Better than sex. If a million girls, one after the other, had asked me just then, "What do you want, Darius, bed with me or bed alone?" I'd have said, "Bed alone," 1 million times. After a while, Sarah got some warm milk into me, and then she felt my head very gently, but not so gently that it didn't hurt fiendishly when she passed her fingers over a bump that felt like a billiard ball attached to my skull. She said,
"I can't tell if your skull is broken or not."
I said, "It isn't broken. If it were broken, I'd be in a coma."
"How do you know?"
"Well, it isn't broken."
"You do have a concussion. You've got to."
Sure, but there's nothing to be done about a concussion but sleep, so let me sleep. I'll be okay in the morning.
You might be bleeding inside. I think we should call a doctor.
No, I said, doctors won't come anyway. Let me sleep. Come back tomorrow morning, and if I don't answer the door, then call an ambulance.
Oh, don't be a fool, she said, and drew up an armchair and sat down in it. You can't stay here all night. How can you stop me?
I groaned, and after that I don't remember at all what happened. I think I talked. I don't recall talking about Giles' murder, though I must have. It seems to me I talked a lot about Asimov. God only knows what I said, but I seem to remember saying that there ought to be a law against anyone having so little trouble writing. Footnote 1. I keep running into that sort of thing. It doesn't seem to occur to any of my good friends of the writing world that I suffer as much as they do, but hide it by grit, determination, and stoicism. Isaac Asimov. Footnote 2. Bullshit. Darius Just. And then I went to sleep, and that was it. There were no dreams that I can remember, nothing. I might as well have died.